Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Actor John Chaffin is someone who's been able to find success in not only dramas, but also in sitcoms as well. We saw him recently, actually just last week, on the hit show The Haves and the Have-Nots on the Oprah Winfrey Network. He's making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about what it's been like for him to be a part of that show, but what it's been like for him to do what he loves and to pursue his passion. We're going to take a quick break first. We'll be right back right after this. Feel beautiful. Look beautiful. Be beautiful inside and out. With unique products, our mission is to uplift, empower, validate, and ultimately build self-esteem in women around the world through high-quality products that encourage both inner and outer beauty and spiritual enlightenment while also providing opportunities for personal growth and financial reward. Sharon Jackson, an independent presenter, believes that with Unique, you can not only find great products, but also a great business opportunity as well. She invites you to visit her website at www.tinyurl.com/Unique by Sharon Jackson. Unique is spelled Y-O-U-N-I-Q-U-E. Again, that's www.tinyurl.com/Unique by Sharon Jackson. Unique, where we put the U in unique.
Bush Baby's solo debut album, The Idol Factory, is out now and available on all digital retail outlets with his single God First, featuring RCA recording artist D1.
God first.
For you, ooh.
This is for the ladies who gon' hold it down. They looking for a man cause they waiting to be found. And this one is for you. This one is for you, yeah.
Looking over me.
And two, it will be a blessing to your life. Look, follow me at Bush Baby Music. And for booking, hit us up at 318-527-0354.
Visit prodigalsoldiers.com.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Well, it's Tuesday, so you know what that means. A lot of us will be tuned in at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, for a new episode of The Haves and the Have-Nots on the Oprah Winfrey Network. One of the individuals we got to see just last week is actually making his first appearance on our show today. Actor John Chaffin is here to talk to us not only about his own journey in acting, but what it's been like for him to be on some of the biggest projects that are on television and also in movies as well. If you're curious as to what has inspired him, we'll talk about that, as well as how you guys can stay in contact with him as well. John, hello to you, and welcome to the program, man.
Hello, Cyrus. How you doing? I'm happy to be here.
Man, we're glad to have you on. Congratulations to you, man, on the great projects you've been a part of. And then, of course, the new project with The Haves and the Have-Nots. I mean, a great show that really, I think, has a very diverse cast. We've been talking to some of the cast this season, you know, just about the experience of being a part of this movement that really has kind of taken over Tuesday night. What has that part of this been like for you, John? We'll start with The Haves and the Have-Nots. What has it been like for you to see the way that people are not only responding to the show, but are really getting invested in the characters they're seeing?
I think it's amazing. You know, the following the Have and Have Nots has is amazing. The fans, the Twitter, I was live tweeting, you know, during the show last week, and it was just, you know, it's just amazing to see how people are so invested in these characters and the storyline and how they really feel a part of what's going on in the story. You know, I've had a lot of people just comment and, you know, post about how they just love the fact that Warlock had Candace's back, you know. And just being able to work with, you know, Tyler and the other actors, Tika and, you know, Gavin and all the guys and ladies on the show, it's been an awesome experience. nothing short of you know, spectacular. You know, everyone on the show is amazing. The personalities are just great, and they're good people to get along with. And it's easy to really work in an environment where everyone is able to get along, and you're able to put forth your best work because it's more of a relaxed environment.
Right, right. Well, you know what I have felt like as we've been talking to the cast over the past three seasons now, John, is that everybody kind of brings their best. And I think that is really what we're seeing, is that everyone is bringing the best of themselves, which brings us back to you, because you have been able to be very diverse in the roles you've been able to play. As I told you before we went live here, I had a lot of fun prepping for this segment because, you know, I got to see you in roles, you know, where you were able to play the tough guy, able to play the funny roles, like in House of Pain. You know, and then, of course, you know, being able to kind of flip that and being, you know, being the good guy, being the law enforcement. You know, has that been part of the fun for you just as an actor, being able to kind of slip into the skin of these different characters and to bring yourself to each one of them?
It is. It's, you know, that's what we, you know, as actors, we, you know, we thrive for, we look forward to, is being able to slip into different, you know, roles and characters and lives and be able to do things and in this imaginary world on the set that we may not necessarily get to do in real life. So it's always an honor when I'm able to play certain roles and diversify myself, because I mean, I'm nothing like Warlock. I mean, there's certain qualities about him that are similar to myself, but I don't have that same backstory as he has. So it's
right.
Always fun to be able to dive into that and see what it's like for the character, as well as the people who actually do live that life, because we are representing real life. You know, there are people,
right.
There are real warlocks in the world, you know.
Exactly.
And there are real Candaces in the world. And just being able to, like I say, put on different shoes and wear different hats and different roles, it's an opportunity for me to challenge myself and to find out and learn more about myself and what I am capable of doing and what other imaginative things I can come up with.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all acting. The majority of it is imagination, is using your imagination. And that's what I do when I get into these different roles, is just try to get back to my childlike mentality, where when we're children, we just don't have any fear. We just do and say things. You know,
right.
And then our parents come along and tell us, no, don't do that, or no, don't say that. And that's what I try to do when I'm acting, is get back to that childlike state where I just do things and it comes naturally. And then by doing that, it'll come off naturally on screen.
Exactly, and I think that's definitely what we're seeing, John. For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. John Chavin is making his first appearance on our program today. We're talking to him not only about what it's been like for him to be a part of the cast of The Haves and the Have-Nots, but what it's been like for him to bring various characters to life on screen as well. So, John, let's go back a little bit. What was it about acting that initially spoke to you? I mean, because I think everyone has their own backstory. What was it about acting that attracted you?
The movie, my favorite movie, Shawshank Redemption, you
oh,
know,
wow.
and the Five Heartbeats. You know, when I go back and I look at those two movies, those were the two movies that made me want to act. Like, just seeing the, you know, with Robert Townsend and Kenan Ivey Wayans, because he co-wrote that movie. What they did with that movie and the actors and how they just communicated, and I would actually quote the movie. You know, I watched it so much that I learned everybody's lines in the whole movie, and then I would go and I'd perform certain scenes for my parents and their friends. They would have like dinner parties, and I would perform certain scenes for them from that movie. And the same thing with Shawshank Redemption. So watching those movies, just getting that exposure, as a child, I'm the only boy, you know, so I have friends, but, you know, at home, I'm pretty much, you know, using my own imagination, because, you know, I'm not really playing with my older sisters like that, because they're doing their own thing. So just, you know, having that imaginative world of movies to kind of just get lost in, you know, I think that was my first real, you know, aha moment, when I said, you know what, I want to do this. I want to do what they're doing. Right. And ever since then, you know, I'm just kind of trying to plug away and figure out how I can do that.
Exactly. Well, and that's exactly what's worked for you. I want to go back to something. 2 weeks ago, we had Renee Lawless on the program. She plays Catherine Cryer. And she said something, John, that really struck me, even with your character, Warlock. And I'm curious as to your thoughts about this. And I think you kind of referenced it even today in this conversation. She shared that, you know, Catherine is a woman who has, you know, $50 million, and not everyone can relate to that, but that 50 million people can relate to what it's like to be cheated on, what it's like to have health issues, what it's like to have children that, you know, that they don't know what to deal with. Do you think that's part of what I noticed even when people were tweeting about Warlock's character? Do you think that's part of what they got, that the loyalty factor, for one thing, for Candace, the idea of someone being there when you're down and out and someone who's a real definition of a friend, do you think that's part of the connection versus him being someone in the streets?
I think that's exactly the connection. I mean, nobody really spoke about the fact that he's in the streets or, you know, quote-unquote thug or whatever. And I mean, I had one person, you know, ask, why are you playing a thug? But, you know, I say that I don't play stereotypes. I play characters. I play people.
Right.
And I think that's what connected to the audience, is that this person was someone who had her back. He's a friend, someone that you can go to, because everybody wants that. Everybody's going to have bumps in the roads where, you know, you may be down and out and you need somebody to go to. And then to be able to have somebody that you can go to, and it's nothing. You know, you tell them, look, I need this, and they don't even question why you need it. They just give it to you.
Right.
And then they don't even ask for, you know, a return or when you're going to pay them back. They see that you need help, and they give it to you. And I think that's what Warlock is for a lot of people that, you know, I've been reading a lot of the comments. I read all of the comments and the posts that I've, you know, been getting. And, you know, the outpour has been, you know, amazing. I had no idea that, you know, the audience would fall in love with, you know, Warlock the way that they did, especially, you know, after one episode. But I think that you hit it right on the nail right on the head. I think that's what connects so many people, is the fact that he is a real man, in the sense that he's protecting her from this other guy that has hurt her in the past.
Right.
And he's there to help her, you know, pull her up while she's down in the dumps, you know, and he's not asking for anything in return. You
right.
know, I think that's what, you know, has people like, oh my gosh, I need a Warlock in my life.
Got you. So let's step back a little bit and just think about, you know, outside of the haves and have-nots, outside of the other roles that you play, you know, is there a certain, and I like the fact that you say that you don't play stereotypes, you know, you play characters, and that's what, I mean, that, to me, that's the whole definition of an actor. Do you find that the role that you enjoy the most, John, is the role that challenges you the most?
I do. And people may not realize it, but those roles are the most, or the more challenging ones for me. The gangster role, or the, you know, the hard guy, because I don't want to play, like I told you, I don't play stereotypes, I play people. And
right.
so even though this guy may have, you know, down and out, you know, circumstances where he's not, you know, living in, you know, above his means, or, you know, he could be doing something different with his life, those are the more challenging roles, because you have to go deeper, you know, than just the surface, because it's so easy to just, you know, play hard, you know,
right.
just try to be real hard all the time. But, okay, let's see, does this guy, even the people I grew up with who are a part of that lifestyle that Warlock is a part of, they're not like that 24/7. You know, these are people that have heart, you know, have feelings, and that, for me, is what I enjoy the most about playing those type of roles, is that I can really go below the surface and give this guy, this quote-unquote bad guy, some type of redeeming qualities and endearing qualities that the audience will root for this guy, even though what he may do for a living may not necessarily be what they agree with.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so that, those roles, and not only that, but you can stretch. You know, you can go as far as you want. There's really no, boundary. There's no barrier, you know what I'm saying, as to how far you can stretch with that character, with those type of characters. And that's the joy, is finding the the hero in the bad guy. You know, finding that endearing quality in the, you know, the guy that may not necessarily exude that on the outside.
Right, right. And again, I think that ties in perfectly with, you know, with Warlock as well as other characters you've been able to play. You know, so much has changed, I think, over the past even 5 years, John, about the way that we not only talk about shows, and, you know, because now, as you mentioned, you were live tweeting, and I was, you know, part of the live tweet group, you know, that was kind of going through the episode. That in itself, I think, is an experience because you kind of become a part of this community. For you, you know, I know for most actors, you have to wait on the reviews normally, you know, for, you know, to find out how people are feeling about it. Is that part of the excitement, too, now being able to get that real-time feedback on how people are feeling your character and what they're thinking about the characters?
It's the best invention ever created for an actor, and because it puts us right in the face of our audience and the fans, and you don't have to wait for sweeps, or you don't have to wait for these ratings to come back and to be published to read it. You get it right now. You get
right.
It right now. You know, do they like your character, or do they not like your character? What do they like about your character? What don't they like about your character? Do they want to see you more? Or, you know, so all of this stuff you get real time, and I think that's what is making these shows such a success, like The Scandals. You know,
yeah.
It's the fact that, you know, the audience has a real, they can talk to the actual actors who are in these roles, whereas in the past, we were never able to connect. You know, I was never able to connect with Will Smith while watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
You know, or Martin while watching Martin, you know.
Right.
I would have loved to have been able to do that. And so by giving the audience that ability, you're not only opening their eyes to what's possible because they see that these people are real and they, you know, they do, you know, respond, they do read to what you're saying, and they, you know, that I believe has opened the doors for actors, musicians, anybody who's an artist, because we have a direct line to the fans, to the audience.
Right.
You know,
and you've been definitely using. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, and we can use that audience feedback to help, you know, to help the show, you know, to help move forward. I mean, I'm pretty sure that a lot of these shows get ideas just based off of feedback that they get from the audience.
Right.
You know, what they may or may not want to do with the storyline. You know, if the audience wants to see certain things, you may switch it up, you know, throw them a little curveball. So that helps on every level, you know, the actors and the writers and producers.
You know, I was just going to say, and you've been definitely using it to the fullest, not only through through Twitter, where you're at John Chafin, but also through Instagram as well, where you're Instagram, you're at JohnBoy1914. I noticed you had posted, you know, hey, I'm going to be guest starring, and, you know, on The Haves and the Have-Nots. Make sure you guys tune in, and, you know, people were able to share it, like it, you know, comment, that kind of thing. And I think that definitely is what it's all about. So at the end of the day for you, I mean, I'm always curious about this question. If there is two questions I kind of ask everybody, John, this is one of them. You know, because for me over the years, the idea of what success is has changed. As you've begun this journey as an actor, as you've been able to be a part of these big shows and be recognized, how is your idea of what success is? How has it evolved?
For me, it's just about doing, you know, what my heart's desire is. You know, if I can wake up and be able to do this and pursue this, I'm successful. You know, for me, success is an individual, it's something that you have to define as an individual, because everybody wants different things. Success means different things to everyone. So for me, and as I continue to grow in my career, I will, you know, of course, have more successes, but my success will always be predicated on my happiness. Am I happy doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Whether I'm in the mansion on the hill or if I'm in a condo in the city, you know, am I happy, you know, in all areas, you know, of my professional life and my personal life, you
right.
know. And as I've, you know, grown and gotten older and more mature as an actor, I'm beginning to realize that, you know, success is not necessarily you know, how many people know your name, you know, or how many people stop you for an autograph on the street, or, you know, but it's more or less, you know, are you able to say that you're doing something that most people wish that they could do, and that's doing something that they love,
right.
You know, not necessarily acting, because I know, you know, you might love, you know, radio, and somebody else might love being a pediatrician, you know, but are you able to do that, you know, or are you being forced to do something and live out someone else's ideas? And that's success for me.
All right. Yeah, I think that's great. That's a great thing to share, man. Again, everyone, John Chapin has been our guest here. You've seen him recently on The Haves and the Have-Nots, as well as, though, other shows. John, how can our listeners stay in contact with you and everything you have coming up?
Yeah, definitely. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Twitter at John Chapin. That's JonChaffin. And Instagram, I'm at JohnBoy1914. It's JonBoy at 1914. That's my Instagram. And Facebook, I'm also on Facebook, John Chapin. I'm on there, you know, social media. I'm getting better at social media, man. I'm not the best, you know what I'm saying? I don't tweet a lot, you know. I'm not, you know, but I'm getting better at it. You know, I'm learning. I'm growing.
Right.
So they can hit me up on those engines.
Yeah, well, I know they'll definitely be looking for you, man. Again, everyone, John Chapin has been our guest. John, one last question for you. It's kind of the question I like to ask everybody, and that is, you know, in paying it forward, what advice do you have for other people out there? You just referenced something really good, though, when we were talking about success, and that is about doing what you love. You may love something, but are you doing it? What advice would you give to people, man, about the importance of not only identifying what they love, but going for it?
I would say that, you know, first identifying with your desire is, your heart's desire, and then accepting that you can have that. You know, I'm a spiritual person. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ, and, you know, so I believe that whatever he puts on my heart that is good and that brings me joy, that's him telling me that this is what he has for me, that I'm in alignment. So if I'm doing something that, you know, is bringing me misery or unhappiness, then that's God speaking to me, telling me that this is not in alignment with what I have for you. When I'm on set and I'm, you know, and I'm doing movies or doing TVs or commercials or whatever, and I'm happy, that lets me know that I'm in alignment. So I would tell anybody that first find what makes you happy, then just be bold and daring and do it. Life is short. You know,
right.
I moved to California with, you know, a few thousand dollars in my pocket that I had saved up and a 1994 Honda Civic that I drove clear across country, you know. And I did that because I didn't want to live with the what ifs. I didn't want to say, well, what if I did, what could have happened, you know. And that's one thing that I would tell, that I tell everybody who asks me for advice. I tell them, look, just be bold and take a chance on yourself. Nobody's going to believe in you more than you believe in you. So you have to take a chance on yourself. And if you fall and it doesn't work, then okay. You know, at least you can say, I did it. I tried. I didn't work. Maybe if it's something that you really want, then you try it a different way. But at least you can say that you tried. And when I see people who feel like they're victims to their circumstances, I think that is one of the greatest tragedies in life, because that's not what we were designed for. You know, we were designed to be creators and to manifest our own destiny. And that is what gives you life and gives you power. And that's what people who are living in the magic of life, that's what they're doing. It's not that they don't fail. It's not that they don't have hardships. It's not that they don't have the same problems that other people have. It's just that they recognize that fear and they decide to go anyway. You know, I was afraid when I moved out here to California. I was afraid when I first started acting. I didn't know anybody. And nobody believed that that was something that I could really do as a career. But now I'm doing it, you know. And had I let, you know, that fear stop me and I had listened to other people, then I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. You know, and I wouldn't be on TV right now. So that's what I say. You know, recognize your fear, and go anyway and do it anyway.
Again, you're hearing it from someone who definitely knows firsthand. Again, everyone, John Chapin has been our guest. John, man, continued blessings to you, man, and congrats on all the success. Looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you, Cyrus, and I continue to listen and support you and everything that you're doing, man, and I think it's great work, and I look forward to listening to you for a long, long time and coming back and having some more great conversations.
All right, man. We'll definitely make it happen.
All right.
And we thank you all for listening to another edition of Conversations Live. If you came in late and missed part of the broadcast, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast here about 5 minutes after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. You can head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I am Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.